This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. And we're continuing our conversation about yesterday's shootings in the northern Wisconsin town of Rothschild, which resulted in the deaths of four people. The shootings began with an act of domestic violence.
Domestic abuse is something that's often treated as something that, while serious, remains behind closed doors. But as we've seen in Marathon County, it can escalate and affect an entire community. Patty Seeger joins us now to talk about this. She's executive director of End Domestic Abuse Wisconsin. Patty, thanks for joining us today.
Sure. Thank you for inviting me on.
So what was your reaction as you heard this news develop and heard that it was something stemming from an abusive partnership?
Well, it's sadly not always surprising when we work in this field. Last year alone, there were more than 60 domestic violence-related homicides in Wisconsin. That's more than one per week. We recognize the seriousness of these crimes, but whenever a homicide happens, and certainly one of this magnitude, you have no other feeling than absolute sadness and mourning for that community, for the law enforcement and the advocates who work in that community who deal with this issue day in and day out. It's unbelievably tragic. And the thing that's true about domestic violence homicides is that they are somewhat preventable.
Let's talk about that. How could we, as a society, as communities, prevent these domestic violence homicides?
Well, when domestic violence is occurring, there are a number of things, sort of markers that we look at. Separation is a big indicator that the situation might rise to fatal levels. Also, access to firearms. We know that in households where there are firearms, at least two-thirds of those households that contain a gun, an intimate partner in that house has had the firearm used against them, either in a threatening situation, threatening to shoot, or potentially kill. So what we know is domestic abusers are more likely to own guns than the general population.
So
getting guns out of the hands of domestic abusers is a really important prevention step.
Do we have laws? Do police, I guess, have the capacity to do that sort of thing?
Well, in Wisconsin and nationally, first of all, anyone who's convicted of any felony in Wisconsin is prohibited from having a gun. Any person who's convicted of a misdemeanor violent act of domestic abuse is prohibited from having a gun. Any person who is the respondent to a restraining order, a person who's subject to a restraining order, is prohibited, a domestic abuse restraining order, is prohibited from owning a gun. And then we have a big loophole. So if one of those people walks into a federally licensed gun dealership, they will run a background check and they will make sure that that person doesn't have a gun. But then there's a purchase of guns through newspapers, through online websites such as ArmsList, which is sort of the Craigslist for selling guns. And people can obtain guns, whether they are subject to some prohibition from owning a gun, because Wisconsin does not have universal background checks, which means that we do not check every gun purchaser at every potential point where a person could purchase a gun to ensure that they would be prohibited from owning a gun.
I wanted to ask about your advice for people, victims of domestic abuse, partner abuse, in a horrible situation. They would want to get out of the situation, but as you said, leaving is the point where it might escalate to the level of homicide. How does somebody deal with that?
Well, I think the most important thing for us all to understand about victims' choices to stay or to leave is that they know the situation better than any of us. So while the situation may be dangerous, some victims choose to stay because they recognize that it's actually safer for them to stay, at least for that time. Many victims develop a strategy for leaving safely. And in order to do that, many victims connect with a local domestic violence program. There is one such program there in Wausau called the Women's Community. They offer services 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They're fully confidential. No one will ever know that that person calls there or goes there for counseling. But the staff and volunteers who work at that program are trained to help that person sort through the safety of staying or leaving and help them develop their own personal plan for safe departure.
I want to talk about law enforcement. I've sadly learned just in the last day that according to statistics and according to law enforcement officers themselves, domestic violence disputes are some of the most dangerous for officers responding. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, actually, a study done last year by the National Law Enforcement Officer Memorial Fund bore out that truth. That domestic violence is the single largest incident that police officers respond to in which they may potentially be killed. So it is obviously very serious. And again, I can't emphasize enough the presence of guns. If a domestic abuser has a knife, yes, he could kill somebody with it, but it's a lot harder to kill somebody with a knife than it is to kill somebody with a gun. And that easy access to guns and our understanding that domestic abusers are more likely to own guns than the general population, and when they own guns, they're more likely to use them either to threaten or potentially kill their partner, makes it all the more important for us to be hypervigilant in that regard. So police officers face a certain amount of risk when they attend to these cases. We track the deaths. My organization tracks very sad statistics related to people killed in incidents that stem from domestic violence. And essentially, every year or two in Wisconsin, another law enforcement officer dies as a result of responding to a domestic violence incident.
Patty, we hear about, you know, the choices available for victims of domestic abuse, the training for police officers dealing with it. Do we have programs out there, training out there to help prevent people from becoming domestic abusers, to prevent this happening in the first place?
Well, that is the million-dollar question. Certainly there are treatment programs for men who batter. Batter is intervention program rather than prevention. The idea is that many batterers, once arrested and whether convicted or not, may go to a court-ordered batterers intervention program. Those programs are designed to educate and teach that individual about their violent and controlling behavior and to hopefully prevent future incidents of domestic violence. But really, when we're talking about preventing violence from happening in the first place, we need to start a lot younger and a lot earlier than after the violence is already happening. We need to start working with children. Even with little kids, we can teach them core concepts of kindness and love and respect for other humans. And as kids get into middle school and certainly high school, we can be talking to them about healthy relationships and unhealthy relationships and what that looks like, and help them identify the characteristics of relationships or of behaviors that are unhealthy and abusive. We can work with kids across the age spectrum far earlier than when violence starts to happen, and start to teach them those core concepts of respect and really breaking out of our very traditionally prescribed gender roles is really a hard thing to do. But we literally teach the little boys to never cry from birth on, to never express emotion. And they end up being human beings with a lot of bottled up feelings and a lot of anger as a result of that. That doesn't necessarily mean that all little boys are going to become violent, because what's true is the number of men who are abusive is actually the small percentage of men. But we need to really think about the messages that we put out to children at an early age that is a setup for them developing abusive behaviors.
And we'll leave it there. Thanks to Patty Seeger from End Domestic Abuse Wisconsin.